Good evening together, or hello if you are joining from another time zone. I'm going to talk about Flowhouse, next generation flow analysis. Who am I? My name is Oliver Herms, aka Attacked, as probably everyone here in this room knows. I'm a network engineer for X-Ring AG, for robustness, reliability, and velocity. A network automation enthusiast and a Golang and gRPC fanboy. And what is this Flowhouse thingy? It's an S-Flow data collector and analyzer. As you can see, the S is separated from the flow, which means it's not just for S-Flow, but it's intended to also support IPFIX and NetFlow, but at the moment it doesn't. So it focuses on S-Flow for the moment, and it combines S-Flow data with ClickHouse database, which is a database system from Yandex. I'll go into more detail in a moment. Flow is a piece of software that's written in Golang, and it utilizes a bio-routing project to get some routing information for flows. This is the full picture of Flowhouse. So basically, the big gray box is Flowhouse. There's a few things getting into Flowhouse and getting out of Flowhouse. The most important part is S-Flow data coming on the left-hand side here from routers that have S-Flow enabled. So those packets flow to the S-Flow decoder. Into the Flowhouse program, it gets decoded. There's a piece here, it's called Interface Mapper, that utilizes some SNMP data. I'll talk about the details in a moment. And also there's an IP annotator to get certain information from IP routing tables to attach or annotate to flows. And in the end, the data is getting stored in a ClickHouse database, and there's a front end. But now let's go through it step by step. What is S-Flow? S-Flow means sampled flow, and it's technology for routers and switches that allows them to sample one out of n flows or packets. Multiple sampled flows are encapsulated into a flow packet, and that flow packet is being sent to a collector. An S-Flow packet, each flow in the S-Flow packet usually contains the first 72 bytes of the packet that was sampled. So all the header information is in there, from VLAN tags, Ethernet addresses, source and destination, IP addresses, ports, and whatnot. And it can contain additional information. For example, there can be extended switching data, which means there can be ingress and egress ports and VLANs annotated to the flow, so we know on which port the packet has entered the switch or the router, and on which port it has left the router, and even with which VLAN tags are. There's also extended routing data that contains the used next hop. Of course, it's only present on routers, not switches. And S-Flow data is sent on by UDP, usually on port 6343. And here we have an example of an S-Flow packet, just to get an idea of what this actually looks like. So there comes a packet that is sourced by a router. In this case, it was a Juniper QFX 10002 sent to a collector running on this IP address. You can see the port here, the destination port, and then comes the S-Flow datagram in version 5. And actually, it contains multiple flow samples, and each flow sample, we can see certain metadata. For example, we can see what the sample rate of the machine was. So this router here was configured to sample one out of 9,362 packets. We can see how many packets have been dropped. We can see which interface was used for the packet to enter the router. We can see the output interface as well. And there's a raw packet header. And the raw packet header actually contains this 72 bytes that I just mentioned here in this area. And then there's this extended switch data, where we can see what VLAN tags have been on the packet when entering and leaving the router. And we have the extended router data here at the end. So these packets arrive at some software, and that does things. And in the end, it needs to be stored. And we use ClickHouse for this. And ClickHouse is an open source online analytical processing database management system. It is column oriented. Which is the key factor here to success, actually. It's blazing fast, scales linearly, and the nice thing is that it actually supports a time to live on data records. So I can define that the flow data is to be stored for 48 hours, and then it's getting dropped automatically, and you don't need to care about it. It's just a configuration, on the Clippers database server that I need to do. Short excursus to block storage. So when we store files, we actually store blocks of data. It's not possible to read and write a single byte or 2 bytes or 3 bytes from a disk or a file system, usually. Block size is typically 512 bytes or larger. So that's the minimum data unit we can read or write from block storage. And for example, on X4 file system, the default block size is 4 kilobytes, which means there's no possibility to read less than 4,096 bytes and no possibility to write less than that. And that has some, that brings some implications. So let's see what our database systems usually are organized. There's row and column orientation in database systems. And what we usually use, for example, Postgres or MySQL, is the row orientation. And row orientation means that the whole table is actually stored in one file. And that means that one row is stored after another in that one single file. And that is usually preferred when all or most columns of a row are usually needed together. So if there's no use case to just look at the age of people, for example, you have a database with employees and there's no reason to check out, to just read the age of all the employees, you would use row orientation usually. So a simple example could be this CSV file here on the bottom left. There's 4 columns, there's an ID, there's a first name, there's a last name, and there's a job title, and there's 4 data sets in here, John, Bob, and Alice with different job titles. And if we only want to read the first names, we would have to read the whole damn file to find out what these first names actually are. If we want to do large-scale data analysis and we only want to know what are all the first names, for example, that exist, or what are all the flows that came from a certain IP address or stuff like that, it would make sense to be able to just read that one column out of the database without having to scratch all the other columns from the disk as well. And here comes column orientation into play. Column orientation means each column is stored in a separate file, and each file contains a series of all values stored in that particular column. That is preferred when only selected columns are needed. So, for example, that would mean for our data, for this data table that we have here on the left-hand side, it would mean that we have actually create 4 separate CSV files, or basically 4 files. Actually, we comma separate. Yeah, they are comma separate, but a comma does not split a record here, but actually separates the values in the columns. So, for example, there's one file called ID, where all the IDs are saved in a certain order, and then there's another file called first name, where all the first names are being saved in a certain order, of course, because otherwise, how could we connect the ID with a first name, with a last name, and a job title? So the order matters here, definitely. A separate file for last name and job title. And this way, if we want to know all the first names in the company, we just need to read the one file with the minimum amount of data. That's the big advantage here on using column-oriented databases. And ClickHouse is a column-oriented database. So once we can store the data decently and read it and analyze it in a well-performing way, we want to have some flow metadata as well that might not be part of the S-flow packets. We had a quick look at the S-flow packet, and there's certain information that is interesting that was missing in there. That is namely source and destination prefix and source and destination ASN. Such information is particularly useful for traffic engineering when you need to know what traffic is congesting your link, peering planning, if you want to know what to what ASNs is traffic going to your transits, for example. And that data is simply missing. The solution here is that FlowHouse supports using the BioRouting route information server, which provides a mirrored routing table for the router per VRF, actually. So the RIS actually connects via BMP to the router and receives all the routing information and builds the routing table in the RIS. And that RIS table is then being mirrored into FlowHouse, actually, where a longest prefix match is being performed for each source IP and destination IP in order to determine source and destination prefix and source and destination ASN. You can see that actually in that datagram here as well. There's this part on the bottom left side. There's this RIS route information server. It receives the BGP data via BGP monitoring protocol from the router. In there is a routing table for each routing table that the router actually has. That is then being mirrored via gRPC into the RIS client here. And then there's this routing table that has the same content as the routing table on the router here on the left-hand side. So that's the longest prefix match here and attaches the ASN and prefix to the flow information that's then being saved into the Kickhouse database. Quickly back here. So that's for flow metadata. It is particularly hard sometimes to make sense out of flow metadata. For example, you can have a 5-tuple like this one here that's very hard to read. So there's a source IP address and a port, a destination IP address and a port, and it tells you it's TCP. It doesn't tell you much usually because you don't know what this machine is, you don't know what that machine is, you don't know what service is involved here. And if we look at interface information, it becomes even harder to make sense out of it because S-flow information contains only interface IDs and not names. And what you actually want to know is answers to questions like these, like which customer is consuming all the bandwidth, who is dinner of serving me, servicing me, how does certain traffic enter or leave my network, peering versus transit, stuff like that, which data center does traffic come from, which one does it go to, what's the name of an interface that is used for traffic. All that information is not really in the S-flow data, and just saving data from S-flow packets in ClickHouse wouldn't really solve that. So here comes the solution for interface names. For interface names, the S-flow packets contain interface numbers, as I said, and not the names. So what FlowHouse does is it goes to the router by SNMP and collects the interface ID to name mapping periodically. And every time an S-flow packet comes, it looks up the ID, gets the name, and the name is then being stored in the database. So because the IDs wouldn't make any sense to human beings, honestly. Another problem with the IDs and the names actually is that the IDs can change. What was interface one at one point in time does not need to be interface ID one at another point in time. So for every flow, it can change actually. One reboot is enough, one line card swap is enough. To get a real mess into the ID name mapping. So the mapping is refreshed periodically, like I think every 3 to 5 minutes, just to make sure that the IDs and names actually match together. External metadata. We go back to the questions 2 slides back. We need to know certain information to answer those questions. For example, an IP address, what site is it being associated with? Where is that machine that has this IP address located in order to, for example, answer how much traffic is going from data center A to data center B? ClickHouse offers external dictionaries for this. A dictionary in ClickHouse is a mapping from a key to a value, and essentially it is a hash map. Values in queries can be replaced by values from dictionaries. So for example, IP addresses can have sites, regions, and roles. And FlowHouse allows users to utilize these dictionaries without writing the query manually. So there's a query builder within FlowHouse that does that automatically. Here on the bottom left, we have an example of a CSV file that is used to associate metadata with IP addresses. So there's an IP address, a machine, role, site, and region, as in the example here. So you can see here that this IP address, 192.168.0.1, is associated with some server -01. That's the machine that the IP address is assigned to. The role is other, is located in the site FRA01, and that again is then located within the region of FRA. So here comes a short live demo I want to show you. This is Flowhouse, and on the left-hand side, you can build a query. You can set a start and an end date. You can filter. So filter means you can change the limit the view on which flows you will actually see. And for the metadata, for example, here's the agent field, and the agent actually shows which router has sent the flow information. And of course, we could just filter on the agent and write the IP address here, like something like this. But again, you would need to know which agent has what address actually. And if there's multiple agents you want to query from, it's also not so simple. But actually, an agent has an IP address. And as I said, an IP address has a site. I can filter for site and start typing here. And there's auto-completion included as well. So it regularly goes to the CSV file and checks out what values are there for the column site. And this is offered for auto-completion automatically. So I set it to Flower 1. So as I say, I want to see all flows seen on any Frankfurt router, where the interface out role is XPeer. So our interface out role here means the interface has an associated role that is the role of the opposite end of the cable, and there can be an external peer connected to a certain interface. There's also, in this example here, we also have IXP, if I want to see IXP traffic, but I only want to see PNIs, and they're called XPeer in our network here. And then here I can say on which attributes I want to break down the traffic, for example, destination ASN, and then I can run that query and see over time how much traffic was actually going through any Frankfurt router, leaving the router on an interface where on the other end there's an XPeer connected, and see to what destination ASN the traffic was going. You can also combine it and say, okay, also show me the source ASN, please. And then see things like this. Here in this example, we can see the source ASN is 65211, which is an internal ASN in our network, and the destination is 3209. And this can be arbitrarily combined as people like it. So back to the presentation. So yeah, thank you for your attention. Flowhouse is on GitHub as an open source project. PRs are of course welcome. There's a lot of things to do still. There's no documentation at all. So if you want to write some, or maybe I'll find the time later to write some, there will be some, otherwise maybe not. What we also want to add is, as I said, Airflow version 9 support and IPFix support. Actually, that just needs support from TFlow version 2. TFlow version 2 was NetFlow collector I implemented in the past. And there is NetFlow version 9 and IPFix decoders already, so it wouldn't be that much work actually to get it done. The problem is just that I don't need NetFlow and IPFix at the moment at work, so it has low priority. And also what I would like to see is a gRPC interface for querying, or maybe even a streaming client that regularly gets updates sent whenever data changes. Not sure about that. If you have use cases for that, let's discuss. If you have questions, feel free to ask them now.